Welcome to the Partnership with Purpose podcast, where we explore ways to engage communities in research and other academic projects. My name is Juasmi Thapa. In this episode, from a student perspective, I talk with Forrest Williams, a former student that worked with community as part of his college coursework. He talks about the project, his experience, and the challenges students often face. He says it was stressful in the moment, but looking back, that's how every meeting goes. Now let's hear the conversation. Today we have Forrest here, who was a student leader for the planning part, and he was very crucial in getting this project completed. And maybe you could talk a little bit about what you did in the course.
Sure. Thanks, G. So understanding community needs was the basic first step that we looked at from the planning perspective. So obviously, this community is a coastal community, and they really wanted to focus on resiliency and making sure that they were prepared in the event that there was another natural disaster to affect the community. And so looking at that, we wanted to talk to the community members to get an understanding of what their needs were, what they wanted to see Rockport grow into over the next 20 years. To make sure that they were growing responsibly, making sure they were increasing economic development, housing affordability, housing variety, to make sure that they could attract those different income levels into the market. The other pieces that they were wanting to focus on was art and making their downtown as a core for central business and commerce to take place, especially to gain that value from the tourism piece of their community and that coastal charm that they have. So envisioning a resilient future. So when we look at a comprehensive plan, we look at multiple elements that create the overall holistic approach to make a community more prepared. So we analyze land use and housing and transportation, along with community facilities, economy, and environment. And so looking at all of these things and how they correlate with each other and affect each other in different areas, we analyzed Rockport and looking at different land use plans and scenarios to see what the community would like to target the areas of growth, the areas that we wanted to redevelop, and see change in tourism or natural areas, and trying to just make sure that we were creating a holistic approach and view for how the community could grow. And really, you know, looking at the different options, because there's so many ways that you can look at a community and plan for different needs. But then when you add in natural disaster planning and resiliency planning, it adds another layer that you have to really analyze to make sure that you're putting putting areas that aren't going to be at risk if there was a flood or if there was a hurricane to take place. And so in that, we created different action plans for those elements of the plan. So looking at the stakeholders, looking at funding opportunities, and trying to gauge, you know, who would be the head lead department to implement some of those actions, and, you know, go through the goal setting process to tie it all together back to the core elements of the plan. So the student experience and challenges at being as the student lead for this project, there was a lot of learning curves that had to take place, not just with me, but also with working with so many different courses and making sure that we were all working towards that common goal of, you know, creating a plan that had all of the pieces in line with what the community's needs were. So one thing that was hard for some of us to grasp was that, you know, we have our vision, we have our ideas of what we want a community to look like, but we have to also take into the account that our view or our best practice might not be exactly what is best for that community. And so really taking a step back and saying, okay, the community really wants to see XYZ. And even though that might not be the best option or the best scenario in our professional opinion, that's what the community wants. So sometimes there's a little give and take that you have to make when it comes to plans. And the plan is supposed to be fluid to an extent to where as you grow and as you develop over time, while it's a 20-year range of time, you want to make sure that you can also change and shift course a little bit. So that way you're working towards that common goal, but also meeting whatever changes or adapting to the changes that take place in between that time frame. And, you know, navigating the public perception is a big key piece that we had to learn, because with the Rockport plan specifically, it wasn't just a plan that we could, you know, take back to the community and say, okay, here you go, it's done. It was a lot of political players involved, and they wanted to see certain things. And so there was a lot of navigating through that before the plan could actually be adopted. And so that's some of the key takeaways from the challenges that we dealt with.
Forrest has always been a heavy hitter and a leader that really helped us with the process. Now, let's talk about what your experience was like interacting with community members. Was there anything that surprised you? Anything you felt like you learned?
I guess the biggest surprise was like not being able to expect or anticipate, you know what they're going to ask you. So trying to think on the spot of an answer to the question with, you know, keeping in mind, like, I'm not like exactly sure how to answer this because I don't want to over, you know, say something that we can't actually do. So trying to navigate through those questions that the community member might ask and, you know, I guess redirecting the question in a way to just turn back to get their opinion on it. So that way it's not you giving a direct answer, but saying, well, okay, if you think this, you know, have you ever looked at it from this perspective? So trying to, you know, give them different ideas on how to get more feedback from them and not just answer the question and move on. Okay, so the most memorable time that I think with the Rockport plan specifically was when we went down to the community meeting and we didn't know how the room was going to be at all. And so we get there and it's this tiny room and there was like nowhere to put all of our posters that we had and like where were we going to stand to present. And so, I mean, it was like 30 minutes before the meeting that we were like trying to scramble and figure out what's the best layout, best format for this, because we also didn't know how many community members were going to show up. So we were kind of a little underprepared for that meeting. And so it was stressful in the moment, but looking back, that's how every meeting goes, basically. Like, you don't really have all of the answers or you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So you kind of have to be adaptable in the moment and just, you know, roll with the flow.
Yeah. Glimpse of the real world.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, going through the whole process and the student side of it, working with so many different team members in our cohort, that some came from a background that they had no experience with planning whatsoever. And so trying to take a step back and understand that, you know, we all come from different backgrounds and experiences. So instead of judging that person on why are they in this program if they have no planning experience, saying, okay, let's take a step back. So your expertise is this area. So let's give you this project because we'll know this is something that you can handle, versus trying to assign everybody an equal amount, you know, to do as far as the planning side goes. So we were able to play off of each other's strengths and weaknesses and, you know, work through that through the project. So it wasn't so much for one person to do or, you know, try to learn everything plus implement and do a plan that they had never really done before. So it was definitely cool to work with, you know, different students and, you know, get an idea of like how other parts of the world plan and how other countries, you know, are just different than America. We're used to the American way. And then you go to China and you're like, oh, a small city is 250,000 people. Okay. That is not small here. You know, that's huge here. So taking those, you know, worldly perspectives and, you know, putting them together and working together on a common goal is definitely a good, solid, you know, experience that we were able to take and, you know, put that into our profession as we graduated and moved on.
Yeah, I remember in community meetings when we have everyone introduce and tell where they're from,
community members get really excited about the variety of places we're representing.
Yes.
And all the ideas, like different background and different places, you know.
Yeah.
All of those lived experience bring to the table.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, you have some community members that are a little hesitant and they're like, oh, like, okay, some of these ideas are a little outlandish for what we think, but okay, if you say so, you know, we'll look at it. We'll see what it does. But yeah, community members, they have a lot of good input, but then there's a lot that they're kind of cultured and sheltered because they've never stepped out of their comfort zone. And so I think having that, you know, applied planning and community engagement process kind of gives them a new outlook on life, you know, if they haven't ever experienced anything outside of their town. So
right, showing the potential and what is possible, even to start a conversation of what they want and what they don't want.
Yeah.
Forrest, if a student has never been in community meetings, what advice would you give them?
I would say the biggest piece of advice, if you're a student and you have never dealt with a community member, never stepped foot into a community meeting, just take that first initial meeting and use it as a learning experience and listen. Try to just take in how people that have experience are interacting with the community members, and take time to, you know, either take notes or really focus on the responses that they give and learning how to navigate through some of those conversations. Because there's certain things that, you know, a conversation that you have might offset a community member. If it's a, you know, particular topic that they don't really, you know, want to hear about or they don't really like. And so, you know, learning how to navigate through those different conversations that could come up. I think listening is probably the biggest thing that you can take away from that first initial meeting. And then obviously, once you get done with that meeting, go back and talk to your peers and, you know, evaluate that conversation and that meeting that was had and say, you know, ask questions and say, how did you handle that conversation? Or, you know, was there a difficult, you know, conversation that came up that you didn't know how to respond? And like, how did you handle it? You know, think about those things and obviously ask your mentors. Like, they're there to guide you and lead you through that process. And so, you know, they can provide new insight and new experience. G and Jamie definitely provided a lot of expertise and experience throughout our process. And so, you know, the faculty and the staff are there to help you and lead you through that. So, you know, don't be overwhelmed and scared, because you'll get through it. I mean, it's part of the learning process.
I remember many hours after class sitting with you in my office brainstorming ideas.
Yes, because, you know, the students, like, they tell their perspective and how it's just not going the right way, and you're like, okay, like, it's okay, like, we can figure it out, we'll navigate through this. And so G and I spent many times just trying to brainstorm, okay, this person doesn't know how to do this, so how can we get them to understand the process, or how to understand what they need to do? Because yeah, everybody has strong opinions.
Yeah, it definitely is a messy process, but I would say very beneficial in the long run.
Yes.
I have a next question for you. Now, as a community partner, what do you wish students knew going into communities or working with communities?
I think the biggest thing that students should probably know before they step foot in the community is just to research, like, what, you know, the basic of the community looks like. Obviously they're there to learn more, but, you know, just doing some initial research is one of the most beneficial tools that a student can have. And then from there, you know, making sure that when you go into that community, that you're not like overstepping your role, because you're there for the purpose to learn and listen to what the community wants and needs, and you're not necessarily there to like go ahead and start solving the problems, because that's not necessarily what the community wants to know up front. But I would say that would be, you know, one of the biggest key things, is to just learn and listen when you first go into a community.
You just heard from a former student, Forrest Williams, and his lessons working with a real community. To support student work in communities, consider donating to our scholarship program, the Cooper Scholars. If you'd like to learn more about the program, follow us on Instagram at TMUTXTC. Check us out at our website, collaborations.tamu.edu/TXTC, or email us at texastargetcommunities@tamu.edu. See you next time.